You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. This is the Friday show. We're going to do a mailbag. People are asking a lot of questions about Gershon Yabusele after he got the start, and they want to know a few things about him. A couple other things. Maybe we're going to get into Brad Stevens, and we'll talk about Danny Ainge's comments about Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, all the big injured guys. We're the Raina Jays. I am John Corrales from RedsArmy.com and the Boston Celtics contributor at Boston.com. Jay King is at his men's league. He is, you know him from his wonderful coverage at Mass Live. But more importantly, Jay, how'd you do tonight?
Oh, we took a tough loss, man. It was we didn't wake up until 5 minutes left. We were down 12 by that point. We pulled even and then lost on a jumper with like 3 seconds left. Actually, I pulled a Chris Webber after that. I thought we had timeouts left, but we didn't.
No.
I had to anyway. If I didn't, so the ball went in with 1 second left, and it's running clock. It doesn't stop. So the time would have run out if I didn't call it. So I had to try to call it. I thought we had one anyway. Either way, we were done.
So, all right, tough loss over there.
It was tough. It was tough. I was making fun of Chris Webber. He was doing the NCAA tournament today, and I was making fun of him for that. And it came back to bite me. Karma never fails.
A little bite. Karma come to bite you in the ass. All right. Well, so you fresh off of your game. You are
fresh off an L.
Fresh off an L. You're going to come in here. We're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on. And do you play in an airport hangar? Where are you?
I'm at the Oak Square YMCA. They've got some message going on. I don't know what the loudspeakers are going on.
This is a professional quality broadcast. And we're not even going to edit it out. We're just going to let it happen. This is organic, and even though it's a podcast that we can edit, we're not going to. We're just going to dive right into Danny Ainge on the radio today talking about Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart. Let's start with Kyrie, where Danny Ainge said that basically they knew that there were going to be maintenance issues, and he knew that Kyrie was not going to be an 82-game guy, that he's going to probably play 72 to 75 games, and that they're being extra cautious, and there is probably going to be some sort of surgery in the offseason to help alleviate that. So does any of this – I feel like this is all kind of stuff that we knew already.
Yeah, that was all kind of stuff we gathered, whether it was from reports or hints or implications, and finally Ainge confirmed it. So it's kind of something – we already knew, not too surprising. I think as long as Kyrie Irving is able to play during the playoffs and play well, whenever he's played, he's been really good. It hasn't bothered him when he's played. So it's just a matter of something he might have to get cleaned up in the future. Seems like he probably will have to get cleaned up in the future.
You know, every off season, there's always like two or three guys that go in and get something cleaned up. And it's not going to be a big deal because he's going to end up on a beach for probably most of June and July, and then he'll come back and get ready for the next season. So I think that'll be fine. I'm not surprised by any of that. I'm not concerned by him being out. I think this is fine. And when the playoffs come around, the schedule, that they'll have at least one day off in between games, very often two, especially between travel days. So I think it's something that they'll very easily be able to manage in the future. So how did that – did somebody make a shot there at the end?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in that other game. Sounds like something wild is going on. I'm in a back room, So they're screaming like a mile away, man.
Well, anyway, so I'm not concerned about Kyrie. I think he'll be fine. I know we had a ton of these injuries all, you know, back to back to back to back, but Kyrie's making this trip, right?
Kyrie is going to make the trip. It looks like he probably won't play in Orlando, according to Brad Stevens last night. He if he's going on the trip, he at least has a pretty good chance of playing Sunday in New Orleans. So he's not going to miss too long. They'll have Al Horford back soon. They'll have Kyrie Irving back shortly after that. And then Jaylen Brown's coming back soon. So it won't always be the skeleton G League squad that played the Wizards.
Speaking of which, we'll get your thoughts on that afterwards. Cause I want to just mention that Danny Ainge, let's finish up his radio thing. He did talk about Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward had a minor setback. And when we noticed that the Celtics were starting to take a little bit of a different tone when they had always said along the way, we anticipate that he's going to miss the rest of the season. We anticipate. It was all kind of like vague. And all of a sudden they were like, nope, he's done. Forget it. Turns out that there was a minor setback there. And this was like a couple of months ago. He'll be fine. But it just, that whatever that minor setback was, basically kind of mostly ended any chance of him coming back like later in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do think it was always a long shot for him to get back, because everything would have had to go right, and the entire rehab process, he would have had to do it, you know, efficiently, no setbacks. This setback obviously it hurts his plans. He still said last week he has hopes of returning. Still seems like a super, super long shot to me, but especially with less than a month left in the regular season, and then who knows how long the playoff run will be. I guess if it extends later on, he might have a better shot, but if he comes back later on, then you have to weigh how good he is, how much he'll help versus the adjustment process of fitting him back into the roster. So they'll have a decision to make if he does get healthy later in the playoffs.
We'll see. I as a Gordon Hayward truther who was always on board a late season return, I've backed off of it almost completely. I'm at like nothing's impossible at this point, but I'm not expecting it. It needed to go perfectly. Everything needed to go perfectly for him to come back. Any sort of minor setback was a problem from the beginning, and it definitely impacted his ability to come back later in the playoffs. I was hoping that if everything went the way I'd hoped, in the next couple of weeks, he would have to be back on a basketball court. And if he's not back on a basketball court doing, like, at least some kind of drills, even if they're half speed or quarter speed or whatever, beyond just shooting and jumping an inch off the ground, then I have no confidence in him making a dramatic late playoff return. So that's that. Last note here on this radio thing. Marcus Smart spent the day in New York City getting looked at by a hand specialist. So we're going to wait for word on that. That's going to happen probably next week sometime.
So much injury news.
So much injury news. That took up like the whole first segment of the podcast.
I feel like I've just been on the injury beat for the last week. That's it. Just straight injury writing.
Dude, they had six guys come out for layup lines last night.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
That's high school shit. So, all right, that's fine. That's where we are. It's, you know, a bunch of injury updates. I want to take a moment to remind you that the Locked On NBA podcast has gone daily as well, just like the rest of your Locked On podcast, like us, the Locked On Celtics. We are your only daily Celtics podcast, and now the Locked On NBA podcast has joined us, and I happen to be a co-host on the Wednesday Locked On NBA show, but I encourage you to go download it, subscribe, and get a daily dose of what's been happening in the NBA. I know it's hard to keep up with everything, so we are here for you. You'll get about a 25 to 30 minute podcast on the NBA, so you can kind of keep up with things. You can sound smart. You can kind of, if you've missed a day, you can just listen to the show on your way to work and kind of get a sense of what's been going on. So download a Locked On NBA podcast and subscribe where you found us, the Locked On Celtics podcast. Okay, we put out a call for tweets, and you responded with a few serious ones and a few funny ones. And let's start with a question. We got a couple of these from at NC underscore Parker and at Coey Joops. can you discuss Yabu's professional development priorities and what is Yabu's ceiling? So let's start with what does he need to work on? The specific question, what gets him to a point where he's a regular NBA contributor in years to come? What do you think, Jay?
I think just being more solid. I think, like, he can move his feet. He can pass the ball. He can do a lot of interesting things. He has a neat Euro step. Like, he's got this unique skill set for a guy his size. His problem so far is that he just moves 100 miles an hour, and the game just seems too fast for him. He's just all kinetic energy all the time. Doesn't always just slow down and make the wise decision. So I think that's the next step for him. Like, he does a lot of fun things and a lot of things that could translate to an interesting player. Like, the way he moved his feet against Bradley Beal in isolation was just special. There aren't a lot of guys who play center and who are that big and that strong who can move like that and stay in front of an all-star shooting guard and contest a shot and strip Beal like he did that
he
one time.
Ripped him. That was
And it wasn't just that. Like, it was three different possessions. He stayed with him, and twice he forced a tough shot. The other time he ripped him, and it's like, wow, Yabu's staying in front of Bradley Beal. And so he does things like that really intrigue you. And then he does some other things like after he ripped him through a turnover on the fast break.
Right.
And so he just needs to kind of become more aware, just settle into things, I think is the biggest thing.
Yeah, I think playing a little more under control is a priority for him, which it's fine. He's a rookie, and I think he's excited, and that's fine. We've seen him do well in Maine, so he has basketball ability, and he's done some decent things in Boston. It's just, I think, a slow progression. So the things he needs to work on, you know, ball handling like everybody else, a more consistent jumper like everybody else. Like, he's just got to go out there and just hone those skills. He's got a lot of skills.
Yeah. You know, I think the jumper is a big thing, because if he becomes knocked down, then with his quickness, he can beat closeouts. He's got good passing ability. He's got good vision. So that becomes more of a weapon if he's knocked down and people always have to close out hard. So I think the jumper is a big piece for him too.
Yeah,
so, like it is for anybody. But he shows the beginnings of a jump shot, and it's okay already.
It's there. He can hit it. It's just a matter of hitting it consistently and hitting it when he's traveling at NBA speed. And so what does he need to work on? Everything. It's not just one thing. He just needs to work on everything, and you know, piece by piece, he'll get there. He's still a young guy, and he'll get there. His ceiling. Oh, God, it's so hard to say what his ceiling is, because you look at a guy like Terry Rozier and what he was his rookie year to what he is now is vastly different. And there are a lot of examples of guys who started out kind of slow and picked it up. So Yabu right now is not a great NBA player by any means, but he's got a lot of skills. I think he could be, I don't know, can he be a borderline all-star someday? Probably. It's possible. I don't know how likely.
Ooh, the all-star.
Yeah, he
the
could all-star be. Claim. I mean, he's got, look, like you said, if he becomes a knockdown shooter with his ability to stay in front of people, he could be a guy that averages 15 points a game and rebounds and passes and gets that, like, last all-star selection. I mean, that's we're talking about ceiling. We're talking about best case scenario. What will he be? I don't know. He may never get close to that, but if everything goes well and he gets that jumper that you're talking about and improves his overall skill set, I think he can be, you know, maybe what like peak Jay Crowder, you know.
I think his development could be important, because, you know, Baines, his contract ends after the season. Greg Monroe, his contract ends after this season. So the Celtics will have Tice back, but their front court won't be as deep as it is right now. I mean, obviously they could go out and sign somebody else. But I do think Yabu's development is key, and for him to become a rotation big, I think, you know, just being able to slide his feet and show that versatility and then just become a guy who you can rely on. So I don't know about the All-Star thing. I don't know about any of that. But I think consistency from play to play, not even from game, just from play to play, is his next step. He just needs to be solid. Just don't do anything. He has enough talent to be pretty good. He just needs to not do stupid stuff.
I think that's good advice for just about everybody.
Yeah.
At Ben Thomas H34, what does Jason Tatum make the biggest improvement in between now and next season? So another developmental question. The thing that Jason Tatum needs to make the biggest improvement in, and parenthetically, aside from not losing the ball while driving. You wrote a whole thing about him losing the ball while driving. That's the obvious thing. Hold on to the ball, right?
Yeah, and I think strength will go a long way toward that. I think strength going to the basket is a big thing for him. I think he should get to the point where he draws a lot more free throws. I also think shooting off the dribble, and not shooting mid-range, but shooting long three-pointers and being able to hit that three off the pull-up, that's going to be a big deal for him, because right now he's settling for a lot of mid-range jumpers in isolation. If he can move those out behind the three-point arc, that's a big step for him. So I expect him to improve in leaps and bounds. He just has so much skill, so much talent, that I see him taking big steps every offseason.
Yeah.
Or at least the early offseasons.
I agree. I think the strength is a great point. That's going to be the thing that really, I think, helps him out. And not just, like, putting on muscle. Like, he's not going to – I don't think he's ever going to be hanging out in the Ojale factory. But he's a guy he needs to get stronger. And that is something that Danny Ainge said at the beginning of the season. They all know it. But he's a young guy, just turned 20, whose metabolism is probably like flying out of control. He's probably always been skinny his entire life. So it's going to be a challenge. He's going to have to pack in a lot of calories this offseason and get to work. But that alone, a little bit of strength, will help him bounce off of guys and hold guys off. So instead of getting the ball slapped away or even just losing it, he'll be stronger, a little bit stronger to hold on to it. He'll be able to finish in the paint a little bit more. So I think working on his strength is maybe priority number one. And then from there, he can work on the ball handling. Again, when you're that young, there's no one thing that you got to do. When you're Kyrie Irving, then you start going into, I think I want to work on this left-handed fadeaway, blah, blah, blah. When you're a guy who's at 27, 28, 29, you go into the offseason trying to add one little thing to your game. When you're 19, 20, 21, you want to go out there and just take 500 jumpers a game and get that thing down. You want to get, you know, the two-ball dribbling drills and the strobe light drills and all the crazy stuff that Steph Curry does. You want to start doing that stuff to just overall improve your game. But
yeah, I think another thing for him is becoming comfortable behind the three-point arc. For a guy who knocks down a great percentage, he's too hesitant sometimes. He's got that Kelly Olynyk to him. So he needs to really develop the lack of hesitancy and understand he has a green light whenever he catches it. And coming off screens, like right now, a lot of his opportunities are spot ups. He's got to be able to come off screens and come off the bounce and kind of develop in that way.
I'm giving him a little bit of slack there because he, being a rookie coming into this team with those stars, I think he's just taking a willing backseat, and I think next year with a year under his belt, that'll come along. Last question here on the Reign of Jays hashtag. Did the Celtics peak too early for Brad Stevens to still get Coach of the Year? I just mentioned the Locked On NBA podcast. This past Locked On NBA podcast this past Wednesday we had a discussion on Coach of the Year, and I kind of made that same point. When Brad Stevens was leading the 16-win-in-a-row Celtics, everybody just kind of gave it to him. But then all of a sudden, Dwayne Casey and the Raptors have gone. They've taken it over the top seed, and everybody is now believing in the Raptors. They've, you know, he's gotten DeMar DeRozan to change his game. He's gotten Kyle Lowry to change his game. He's gotten a very young bench to step up and deliver consistently. So I think right now, and I mentioned this in the Lockdown NBA podcast, my top three is in order: Dwayne Casey, Brad Stevens, and Nate McMillan.
No D'Antoni, huh?
He won it last year, and you know that this is like we're looking at, for Coach of the Year, performance versus expectations. And people kind of expected Houston to be that good. And like I said, he won it last year. Harden's doing his thing. Chris Paul's doing his thing. Obviously, the guys at the top, him, Kerr, you know, Greg Popovich always are in consideration. But no one expected Indiana to do what they do. So McMillan gets, you know, a recognition. After Gordon Hayward went down, for the Celtics to be as good as they've been, Brad Stevens definitely gets recognition. And I think Casey, because you look at that, that's the top team in the East. And for them to do what they're doing with an entirely new system and with so many young guys playing key roles, I think that it just elevates him to a different level. You say that coaching is very, very important for Toronto.
Yeah, the argument between Stevens and Casey is interesting, because Casey took a team that was basically already formed, right? Like, they have most of the same guys that has succeeded over the last several years and won a lot of games over the last several years. And he changed them. He transformed them.
Yeah.
He made them change their style. And is that more impressive than taking a team that had just four returners and had to bring in Kyrie Irving and then lost Gordon Hayward on opening night and has 19-year-old and 21-year-old in the starting lineup from day one, and has had a whole lot of injury issues? So the argument between them is interesting, because they both had very different jobs and very different challenges this season.
Yeah, I agree. Look, there are a lot of guys that deserve recognition. And Brad Stevens, hey, if Brad Stevens wins it, I'm fine with that. I think that's totally legitimate. I don't think people in Toronto will be upset, but I don't think you can make that argument, just like you said, with all the new guys, with coming back from the Hayward injury and all of that stuff, totally makes sense. I guess there is a level of very impressive coaching that goes to getting established players to change their game. That's not something you hear a lot of, especially it runs in contrast to Brad Stevens, who says, do what you do. Just go do what you do best, and we'll work around you. Casey's like, no, DeMar, you got to take threes. No, Kyle Lowry, you got to be more of a distributor. And so far, it's working. So, again, two very different coaching jobs, both equally impressive. And there's a little bit of a what have you done for me lately factor, where the Celtics, through no fault of Brad's, are struggling a little bit more towards the end, and Toronto is finishing on a big high note. So I think it's going to be fresh in the voters' minds that Toronto went on a big run to capture the top seed.
And I think Greg Popovich, if the Spurs make the playoffs, has to be up there. I think Quinn Snyder, the way Utah's playing,
totally,
he's up there. Terry Stotts, the way Portland's playing. Yeah. Like, I always say it every time the Coach of the Year voting comes out. It's like, you look at the top 10, top 15 guys, they're all really damn good coaches.
Yeah.
There are so many smart, smart guys in the NBA and guys who have done really good jobs. So
absolutely. And look, as I said on the NBA show, if you had a draft right now of NBA coaches, like, who would the number one pick be? Popovich, right? I mean, so he's always going to be your coach of the year, but he can't get it all the time. And even though they're playing with a bunch of, you know, mostly nobodies, they just can't. I don't think Popovich can get it all the time. It's time. I think it's time. I think Dwayne Casey is a very legitimate choice, and there are other guys that will be ahead of him in the voting.
All right.
On to the rain and junk hashtag, because we've got a few kind of funny just comments, mostly. Rich Jensen, who asks, what if Giannis is actually il numero uno, Igor Mitic?
Ooh.
What if it's his cousin? I think it could be him, but
I feel like we're getting a little prejudice there.
What?
Why has it got to be Igor's cousin, man? Are they from the same part of the world? Where's Janos from?
Where?
You don't even know, man.
Well, look, I know that. let's see. Where is Janos from? I don't know.
Janos just likes soup.
Janos,
he's from the internet.
Janos is, well, look. Janos is real, and he's from Central Europe. And I know that Igor is from, like, Serbia. So they're probably, you know, from the same part of the world. They could be related.
Igor's my guy. Shout out to Igor. I love that guy.
Yeah, man. Look, that dude, he's got that show, that podcast there, and he's been doing it for a long time. And he's got to be up in the middle of the morning watching these games and covering and talking about it. It's always fun. It's always fun being on his show.
Igor's my dude.
He is our dude. Okay, this one is tough, but it comes from Justin, that off Celtics fan. You've already given us Tito Three Sticks. Can you gift us a Celtics starting five of Rain and Jay's nicknames? Now, I want to say that it was Jam that gave us Tito Three Sticks. So
I was reluctant to hop on board. I didn't do it until Austin Ainge,
right,
came out against it, and then I had to rebel against.
Once authority comes in and dictates what you're supposed to say, you decide that you're going to rebel against it because that's who you are. You're a rebel. I don't know what we have for Rain and Jay's nicknames. I think
Greg. Greg is a big one.
Greg is a good one.
Smarf.
Yeah.
That wasn't us.
We didn't
get out these nicknames.
Well, Greg was just a nickname bestowed upon us by the universe.
Yeah.
And the person who was lazy at whatever the Washington Arena is called now. It used to be the Verizon Center. Now I forget what the hell it is. Who came up with... I lost it. I don't know.
That was Greg, Bird of Refs, man.
Greg from Moose.
Kyrie from Sport.
Yeah, I don't really use
Dabusele.
Dabusele. Gershon Dabusele.
Yabu, the dancing bear, is a big one.
Yeah.
Obviously. That one stuck.
That's it. We have not been given out a ton of nicknames. I've stuck to Tito. And again, like I wasn't huge on Tito at the beginning, but then it got, you know, it became a mainstream thing and I had to get on board. So
you all set?
I guess that's it. We have another comment from at Jake Jordan, who just responding to he's making a Groot joke. I don't know. Just go check out at Jake Jordan 8's tweet to us. Groot is throwing a boulder, and he's supposed to be Greg Monroe. That's it. That was the worst explanation of a joke.
Greg Monroe, who's suddenly shooting 58.3% with the Celtics.
You know, people were kind of giving him a hard time early, and all it takes is time. I think he's going to be fine. I don't know if he's going to make up for the loss of Tice, but... they're just definitely not going to be able to use him the same way. But he's going to be fine. He's a good player. He's good. It's just finding the time and the role for him takes a couple of games. You know, people need to relax a little bit. Did you have any thoughts, because you weren't on the post game show, before we wrap up? Did you have any thoughts about that crazy double OT loss to Washington?
That was just insane, man.
Wasn't it? I thought it was hilarious.
It was totally insane. And it was one of those games where if the Celtics were at all close in the standings, it would have been really frustrating for fans to watch. But because the Celtics have a nice cushion for second place, and because it was just kind of watching young guys do their thing and be out there in roles that they'll never have again, or very rarely will have again, at least this season, it was just an entertaining game. I enjoyed watching. I enjoyed Yabu out there starting.
Oh,
I enjoyed
great.
Tatum kind of letting loose a little bit, and he screwed up a few times, made a few brilliant plays. But that was kind of like what Tatum could have been this year in a different situation.
Yeah,
Yeah, like, no, kind of just testing the limits of his game. And then you have Marcus Morris, ISO Mookin, the Wizards almost to death. And then, man, that last play was of regulation was so cruel because he had such a good game, and he kept them in it, and he helped them get ahead, and he was so good. And then he just brain farted at the worst time.
Yep. Twins do dumb shit, as he said. So that was the quote of the night.
I'm a big fan of when guys hold themselves accountable afterwards and are very direct and just say, I screwed up.
Yeah.
And he just put it on himself.
He owned
just
it.
Totally owned it. That I think that's the best from a teammate standpoint, from a coach's standpoint, when a guy knows he's screwed up and is willing to take responsibility for it, because that's the type of guy who's going to change next time. So shout out to Marcus Morris for owning it, even though he never should have done that shit in the first place.
You know, that's the type of, like I said in last night's show, I'll say it again, knowing the situation that was supposed to be a brutal loss, like I was expecting that game to be over at halftime, and there they were just dominating in the first half, most of the first half. And it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious that Washington, that really needed that win because they're trying to get home court, was just screwing up an opportunity. I know they're on a back-to-back, and I think they just walked in and said, we're tired. The Celtics are like a shell of themselves. We don't have to do much to beat them. And they just fell way, way, way behind. And I just think it's hilarious that it took them two overtimes to put away a basically main Red Claws team. So
and the Celtics, I mean, they had every chance to win it. Sure. They were up 20. They were up 3 with 5 seconds left. They had a free throw to win it in the first overtime. They had a 3 to win it in the second overtime. Like, honestly, if they were close in the standings, or if they had a chance at the first seed, or if that game really meant something serious, it would have been the most frustrating game for fans, for coaches, for players. But instead, it was just kind of like, not like a preseason game again, but sort of.
Sure, yeah, of course it was. Sort
just
of.
Throwing guys out there and auditioning for different roles and playing in new ways. You know what? I probably haven't said this enough this season. I've become a big fan of the way Shane Larkin plays basketball. I just love the energy that guy plays with. He is forever outworking his opponent. Every single night that guy steps on the court, it's like, bam, you can feel his presence. Even though he's 5'8 or whatever the heck he is,
yeah,
you can feel his presence when he steps on the court. So I've really become a fan of the way he plays, of the passion he brings, and the energy he brings to the Celtics every night.
I'm with you, man. All right, that's a good place to end this show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope that you have enjoyed the show enough to become a subscriber. If this is your first time, welcome. I hope you enjoyed the show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics. We're here for you every day, Monday through Friday, post games, whatever it is, to talk to you about the Boston Celtics. If you're already a subscriber, remember to give us a 5-star rating and let the people know in a review that they should be listening to us. Follow us on Twitter. I'm RedsArmy_John. Jay is at by Jay King. And we are on Twitter, the podcast on Twitter, at Rainin_Jays. So get at us. Let us know what you think of the show. Thanks for listening. We're back next week. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics.